Welcome to Run With It, Canada's running fitness and health program. Back on the show, we have Dr. Bob Wall for the Sports Doctor Is In segment. Plus, you have a chance to win two entries into this year's Vancouver Sun Run. So stay tuned for that. But first, let's go to our lifestyle segment. Check this out.
I'm excited to have with me as my guest, Shirley Garrett. Shirley is a multi-talented individual who has been a personal trainer since 1994. She's also an in-demand national board certified health and wellness coach, specializing in lifestyle medicine, culinary medicine, and she is a trained chef with a professional culinary arts diploma and also does coaching and behavioral change. Starting this month, we'll be doing part one of a part three series. It's quite exciting, about lifestyle medicine, culinary medicine, and coaching and behavioral change. And starting today, we'll be talking about lifestyle medicine. Welcome to the show, Shirley.
Thank you, Christine. I'm pleased to be here. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, so for the audience, for those who are watching, what is lifestyle medicine and why did you choose this specialty?
Oh, wow. So first, I'll say that I chose to work in this area long before lifestyle medicine became a name or a title for this type of healthcare. But I will define lifestyle medicine as per the American College of Lifestyle Medicine's definition. And they say it is the use of evidence-based lifestyle therapeutic interventions. And these interventions are referred to as the six pillars of lifestyle medicine. And those six pillars include a whole food, plant predominant eating pattern, regular physical activity, restorative sleep, management of stress, the avoidance of risky substances, and positive social connections. I've always believed, and this is going to your question about my role in lifestyle medicine, I've always believed that we have a lot of control over how we care for our own health by being active and eating well and nurturing a balance of good quality sleep and low stress and relaxation and mindfulness. And in my fitness business, I've worked very hard at remaining active and helping my clients become active as well. So for me, the things that I've always enjoyed, like exercise or cooking and eating and engaging in outdoor activities, it felt like a perfect fit for me for a career in lifestyle medicine.
So what areas do you focus on, like healthy eating, stress?
Yes, healthy eating, stress, and more. As you've already said, I've been a personal trainer and also an ACE certified medical exercise specialist for over 25 years. So activity and exercise are also common topics with the people that I see as a wellness coach. And using the coach approach, I focus on several areas, the most common ones, of health and wellness. And that includes, of course, fitness and exercise, eating, preparing your own food whenever possible, and stress management, including mindfulness and healthy sleep habits. I did take the time to attend culinary school so I could teach clients what they need to know about the basics of healthy cooking at home for better health, which is another important part of lifestyle medicine.
So exciting and so inspirational, Shirley. And so what are the benefits for athletes or for those who want to lead a healthier lifestyle?
Oh, well, for athletes and for anyone who wants to lead a healthy lifestyle, which is probably most of us, all of us, the benefits of lifestyle medicine behaviors, this is key, behaviors and other health issues as well. They improved heart function and the reduced risk of type 2 diabetes and other metabolic diseases, healthy blood sugar, blood pressure, cholesterol levels, better sleep quality, reduced tension and stress. We reduce the long-term risk of most illnesses and injuries. It also brings positive energy, self-discipline, and other important qualities to our life. And I will say, as a fitness professional, by engaging in functional exercises, athletes and all of us will improve our balance and we can reduce the risk of falls and therefore fractures as we age. And just for the record, functional exercises are simply exercises and movements that mimic the movements that we do in our everyday life, like picking up a chair and moving it, or carrying bags of groceries and walking up the stairs as we carry them, reaching high up to get something off a high shelf. Those are functional exercises that are also important.
Yeah, I should say for all of us, I love that, you know, because everyone can improve, right? And they're living a healthier lifestyle, right? And so, Shirley, what behaviors are the most common ones that people want to change when participating in a, you know, lifestyle medicine coaching program?
That's a good question. When I think back to my files, my clients, and to some of my current clients as well, the five most consistently challenging behaviors for the coaching clients are walking and exercising more, or just generally being more active. Mm-hmm. And usually they are looking for weight loss when they are more active or exercising. Also improving their eating habits, not just how much they eat, but their wish list usually includes more home cooking and meal preparation and less eating out or ordering takeout to bring home. The third thing is sleep, better quality sleep, but also more sleep or enough sleep. Mm. Managing our anxiety or stress, which usually in the case of my clients occurs in family or work situations. And the fifth one is pain management. Many people are struggling with varying levels of pain from injuries, accidents, or because of personal health problems like joint pain or neck strain from work. So those are the main ones that I always hear about.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And Shirley, is there any real evidence backed up by science and data to prove that health can improve with eating better, losing weight, being more active and less stress, sleeping better? Stress, you know, when you think about it, how can we cope?
Well, there are plenty of resources that prove all of the above. So I'm sharing three links and you'll see them on your screen when you watch this. As you consider the numerous benefits of lifestyle medicine, there is a quote from one of the studies. So the answer, yes, there is plenty of research and science-backed evidence that's available. But I want to quote one of the a short part of the link that I'm sharing with one study from 2018. And it says, the study of how habits and actions affect both prevention and treatment of diseases has coalesced around the concept of lifestyle medicine. And there is no longer any doubt that daily lifestyle habits and actions profoundly affect both short-term and long-term health and quality of life. And this is supported by literally thousands of published studies. And that, so the link to the National Library of Medicine specific to lifestyle medicine has entitled this study, The Health Promoting Power of Daily Habits and Practices. And I think that says it all.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Love it. So audience watching this, they can...
Yeah, they'll see the link, but I also wanted to just refer at this time to a couple more links that I'd like to share that they'll see. And one is to the American College of Lifestyle Medicine's website. It has access to all kinds of the ongoing and current research and scientific evidence, but it's also a real wealth of information of tools on how you can improve your lifestyle, even if you're not using a coach or a trainer, resources, books and videos, and these relate to cooking and exercise and everything in between. So the lifestylemedicine.org is a valuable resource that I'd like to give anyone access to if they take it off your screen.
Yes, wonderful.
And if I may, I have one more that I think is really important. And it's called nutritionfacts.org. And it is a website accessible to all of us by Dr. Michael Greger, who's a respected lifestyle medicine doctor. And everything he presents in his blog or on this website is 100% science-based information and mostly regarding nutrition. And he presents at conferences, and any audience who has seen him several times, like I have, we all kind of finish his sentence for him because he says, I scour the research all the time and I bring it to you so you don't have to scour it. So, and he puts it in plain English so it's easy to understand.
That's wonderful. So the three links, it's just, thank you, Shirley. This is wonderful. And the more information out there, the better to help us lead healthier lifestyles. And so Shirley, what questions do you often get asked?
Oh, you know, I've been thinking about this, and one of the most common questions that I've been asked for all the years of my fitness career, and even now in coaching, it comes up a lot with coaching as well. The question is, what if I've tried to lose weight before, but I haven't been able to maintain the weight loss for the long term? Should I keep trying? That's a common problem. So first of all, the odd time I'll have a client who really is at their ideal weight, but they're not personally happy with it. So I will first say that assuming your weight loss quest is realistic and that you do have weight to lose, even if you haven't been successful at maintaining it, you absolutely should keep trying. And the common problem of being able to maintain your weight loss is something, or not being able to maintain it, I should say, is something that I put into the category of where health coaching can help. A coach would start by helping you weigh the pros and the cons of making the change in your behavior. Most of the time when you've lost the weight, you've decided there is a pro and you should do it. But if you can't maintain it, maybe you need to explore a little more deeply. So weighing the pros and cons of maintaining it. And then when you set that goal, the long-term change, and you want the weight loss to be long-term, start with a real intention, meaningful change. And it's not wishful thinking, it's intention. And that's deciding on a direction and taking actual steps that will lead you there. So we just need to remember to dig deeply in our desire to make changes, whether it's weight loss or anything else. The term in coaching is intrinsic motivation. And that resolve to make the lasting changes has to come from within ourselves. I'll go on. Superficial goals seem to be easy to achieve, but they often do see us sliding back into our old habits. So I find myself telling clients this quite frequently, is to dig deep when you set a goal and mean it. The goals have to be intentional. Then you can achieve them and make them stick.
Yeah, I love dig deep, you know. And yes. And Shirley, how does one begin and what would you recommend?
Well, if we're talking specifically about the question that I was responding to, or just generally better?
Yes, generally.
Yeah. Well, again, one becomes motivated to make the commitment to change. And basically, it's a four-step process. The first thing you have to do is recognize and acknowledge and articulate where you are right now, the starting point. Weigh the pros and cons of changing. Why is this important to you? What would happen if you didn't make the changes? Again, this is decisional balance. You have to make sure that you're digging deep and this is important to you. And then when you look for your starting point, what are you doing at this moment? What do you do consistently that you could maybe build on? What needs to change? Do you need to increase your activity levels? Do you need to do more home cooking? Because home cooking is healthier than takeout. Do you need better or more sleep? And then once you've sort of articulated that, then the second of the four steps would be to envision your new healthier future, maybe a year from now, and pretend you're even there already and say it in that tense, a year from now, instead of how often are you active, like saying it now as a plan, that's okay. But look at yourself a year from now and say, I am walking 5 nights a week after school with my dog and my young children. And what are you doing a year from now? You just ask yourself that and you say it as if it's a year from now and say, I'm working in the yard every weekend and I'm getting really fit from all the yard work I have to do. Things like that. So playing with your kids, what are you eating? What are you cooking? With whom are you enjoying your meals? How much do you weigh? And then once you've got that vision, as if you're looking into your 1 year future, healthier future, then you set some 3 month goals. What can you take from that vision, some components, and set up some 3 month specific goals that will lead you toward your vision? Maybe you need a good rake for the yard work, or maybe you need better shoes so you can walk with your kids. Just little steps that will take you to 3 months toward your vision, which is a year from now. And the last step is the important one. Well, they're all important, but this one is one you will do right now and you'll do it weekly. And those are weekly goals, SMART goals. And I just wanted to clarify, SMART is an acronym for specific, measurable, action-based, realistic, and time-bound. I'm sharing a link also that is very short. It's 3 minutes or so. It's quite cute. And I think most people will enjoy it when they watch it. And I hope you will watch it, because if you're serious about setting a SMART goal, this little video is very articulate about how specific and measurable and so on a SMART goal has to be. So I'm sharing that link as well for SMART goals. And they will take care of you. So if you are specific and serious about your goals, you should be able to achieve them. And a coach can help you do that as well if you care to engage a coach.
Shirley, thank you. I mean, for more information, where can people go?
Well, I have a website and my business name is proactivehealthcoach.com. There are no hyphens, no spaces, just proactivehealthcoach.com. And I also have an email address, which they're welcome to contact me directly. And it's my first name, Shirley, S-H-I-R-L-E-Y, at proactivehealthcoach.com.
Wonderful. And stay tuned for next month. Shirley will be back talking about culinary medicine. Shirley is a trained chef with a professional culinary arts diploma. Stay tuned.
You're on a mission to improve your health, and we're here to help. At YesWellness.com, we believe that feeling good and performing at your best is not a luxury. It's a necessity. That's why we offer affordable vitamins and supplements, health foods, and wellness essentials to help support you during your journey to wellness. Just order online and we'll send it straight to your doorstep. No fuss, no hassle. Because wellness should be simple, every step of the way.
And now it's time for your chance to win two entries into this year's Vancouver Sun Run. Ready? The question is, when was the very first Sun Run? To answer, go to runwithit.ca and we'll do a random draw and announce the winner on next month's show. And good luck.
Joining me is Dr. Bob Weil, and he's back on the show for the Sports Doctor Is In segment. Welcome back, Dr. Bob.
Hi, Christine. It's always great to be with you. Add our 2 to 5 cents to the Run With It world.
Yeah, so today's topic, we're going to talk about, would you say it's one of the runner's top foot problems, plantar fasciitis?
Yes, it is. This is all active people, especially runners, the inflammation of the arch and heel is a very common problem. It could be a recurring problem. It could stop people. So we want to share some information regarding what plantar fasciitis is. I have a little book picture. The plantar fascia is a grizzle-like tendon which attaches from the heel bone to the ball of the foot. Commonly, the area where the plantar fascia attaches to the heel is the most common problematic area. Long-term pulling, inflammation, irritation of that area sometimes leads to a heel spur that might also be present. So people have to understand every step we take, every time we push off, we are stretching the plantar fascia. Now, sometimes we might see somebody, one of your runners, one of our individual viewers might have a very, very high arch foot, and they might have almost like a traction pulling because the high arch is so tight with the attachment of the plantar fascia. We also might have the opposite, much more common, the flat foot that's collapsing and pulling on the attachment. So many times we'll see that understanding the mechanics, understanding that your foot type can have a lot to do with how susceptible you might be is how we start really, really paying attention, because about 10% of the cases, Christine, can be very, very resistant to treatment. Many times what we'll look to do is ideally the GOLD program is a custom orthotic, something that ideally will take into account proper alignment and positioning of the foot. So proper support is very, very important. We use a lot of physical therapy, stretching exercises, actual treatment from the physical therapist. We might also be looking at over-the-counter oral anti-inflammatory agents. Ibuprofen is one of the most popular ones, where we might be taking some ibuprofen for a week or two to calm it down. Intelligent rest that we've talked about so often, backing off. The challenge with runners, many times we'll see people are very, very committed. What I try to tell an active runner is, let's be a walker for a few weeks. Let's allow this thing to calm down, because we can really come up with a recurrent, persistent problem that will really be very, very aggravating for everybody involved. Common is inactivity pain with heel-related plantar fasciitis. You know, Dr. Weil, first thing in the morning, man, those first few steps, it hurts. or, you know, I've been in the car for a few hours. I start walking, it really, really hurts. This is very suspicious sometimes of heel spurs. But the arch area itself is also very susceptible, even up towards the ball of the foot. So you really want to see podiatry. You want to get some feedback on, is this the condition you're dealing with? Get some good treatment options. The 95% of plantar fasciitis cases are conservative management, support, stretching, therapy, intelligent rest. Sometimes we'll do cortisone injections in some instances that might be indicated. But we want people to understand that this is very, very common. It could knock you out of the box if you don't pay attention. We might have people who have access to Whirlpool can be very effective, so-called hydrotherapy. So we want to pay attention, especially if it's been recurrent. We also, of course, want to discuss what shoe are you in? Is this ideal for you? Do we need to add support to that shoe? And these are the things we pay big attention to, Christine.
Dr. Bob, for people who would like to reach out to you, where can they go?
If they go to my website, ChristineSportsDoctorRadio.com, if they go over to radio shows, they could go back years, listen to so many different shows. They'll probably catch you a half a dozen times when you've guessed it on the Sports Doctor. SportsDoctorRadio.com, best place to find out all that information.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for watching. If you have a question or comment about today's episode, go to our website, which is runwithit.ca. Until next time, run with it.
Run With It is sponsored by the BC Sports Hall of Fame, Mallory's Fashion Network, Craft Academy Salon, Proactive Health Coach Shirley Garrett, and the Vancouver Sun Run. The Vancouver Sun Run is set for Sunday, April 24th. Join us on Canada's largest 10K or run virtually from April 15th through to the 24th. If you do both, you will receive a special commemorative medal. Visit VancouverSunRun.com for more information.